We're speaking now with Dr. Becky Meyer, the Lake Pondere School District Superintendent. Becky, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Lisa McElroy, who is the district's instructional coach and literacy lead. Lisa, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And we're in the midst of Dyslexia Awareness Month, and you have an event coming up on this coming Monday as this airs, October 28th. And I want you to tell us about that. And then I want to back up in our conversation. Let's talk about what dyslexia is and how it affects both students and families.
Awesome. Our intention with dyslexia awareness for our district is to simply bring awareness to dyslexia. It's going to be at Sandpoint High School from 5:30 to 6:30. We're going to begin with a brief description of what is dyslexia, what are characteristics of dyslexia, and then we're going to break into some simulations. I think it's important for people to experience what dyslexia feels like. We have planned a series of three different simulations, and then we're going to finish up by explaining to families what our district's doing to support students with dyslexia and ensure that every student graduates a reader, and then also provide some resources for parents so that if they're ready to support their learners at home, we'll give them some tips and tricks.
So I'm going to assume that a lot of folks that come to this already know that the event's happening, but there may be some folks that are listening with families that maybe their kids haven't been identified as having dyslexia, and they're wondering if they're struggling. Is this a good event for them to come to?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. If you're noticing that your student is struggling with word reading, they're having difficulty processing language, for example, my son used to say words like specific, but he would say pacific, ambulance for ambulance. If you're noticing that there's some language processing, just differences or delays, if you're noticing that your student, when you read with them, that they're struggling to decode words on a page, then this awareness night might be something that you would find value in attending.
Might be actually quite eye-opening.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Okay, well, that is this coming Monday, October 28th. It's 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Sandpoint High School. Is it in the auditorium?
It's in the commons.
In the commons area, mm-hmm. Okay, right as you walk in the
yeah.
main doors
yeah.
there. Everybody can come. So it's you know, whether you are a grandparent or a parent or even a friend, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's back up a little bit and tell us what dyslexia is.
Sure. In its simplest form, difficulty, lexia, language, difficulty with language. In a broader term, though, dyslexia is really a learning difference in the way that the brain processes and learns language, particularly written language. Our students that experience dyslexia, 80% of them have difficulty in a part of the brain that's called the phonological processor. So an example of that is, if I were to say to you, say cat, and you said cat, and then I said, now say cat, but don't say k. Just those little phonemes, those pieces of sounds, students that experience dyslexia have difficulty hearing and manipulating those pieces of sounds, which then translates to difficulty reading words. So later it turns into a laborious word reading, slow word reading, and then it affects spelling as well.
Okay, so it's an auditory as well as a visual impediment for some kids.
Well, in fact, dyslexia being a visual issue is one of the common misconceptions. Actual visual reversals are very common when you're learning to read, clear up through the end of first grade. But students with dyslexia, really the deficit area is within the brain and how it processes language more so than a visual processing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that teachers are kind of on high alert, especially with young kids, to spot this condition if mm-hmm. it might exist. How about parents and grandparents? How can they kind of make a calculation that their child might be affected?
Sure. I'll just use my own son as an example. As a mom, I'll tell you some things that I noticed and didn't think that they were considered really red flags until I learned more about dyslexia. Some of the first signs that I noticed was late to learn to walk and talk. Again, with the mispronunciation of language, also just a general misinterest in print. Some kids, they like to sit and snuggle and read a book, and some kids just don't want to attend to print. If a student has difficulty finding words, it takes them longer. Oh, there's a word. I can't think of it. That delay in finding those words is called rapid naming. That was another thing that as a parent I missed. And then really once my own children started learning to read, they were delayed in that. It took them longer to learn to decode. They were slower readers, and they had extreme difficulty with spelling. And so those were largely the red flags as a parent. Hmm.
And if they have that, Chris, if they see any of those signs when they're reading at home, they should definitely tell their teachers, because this program, every student graduates a reader. We're real serious about it in the school district.
That's the broader program, yes, under which you're tackling dyslexia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're serious about it. We want every single student to graduate a reader so that they're ready to go out into the world and be successful. You and I, all of us know how important it is to actually be able to read. But if they are seeing any of these signs, red flags at home that Lisa just discussed, really make sure that you go talk to your teacher, because we don't want anyone to fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And speaking of falling through the cracks, when I was young, there was like zero awareness of dyslexia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I think there's a general awareness. It's certainly growing. Mm-hmm. When did things start to turn that we became aware that, hey, a lot of kids are affected this way?
Well, in Idaho, in 2022, our state passed dyslexia legislation. So I think largely that was a major push toward awareness.
Just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay. And I will tell you, people who are familiar with this topic will know, nationally, we were behind. And Idaho was one of the last states in the entire nation to have dyslexia legislation and a handbook for dyslexia. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have Lisa, who understands it not only from a mother's point of view, but as an educator, and she's an early literacy specialist. So we're really fortunate in our district to have her. And thankfully, the legislators saw the value in it and put together the handbook and the legislation. I just always like to encourage, families and parents, because this was a mother that was just at the end of her rope that we weren't doing things in this state, and really pushed with legislator. But one mother started this and really made it happen in Idaho. So it can be done if you have
the power of one. Right,
the power
there.
Of one. I encourage families. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I think it's important to point out, these kids are often really smart.
Absolutely.
It's not like a cognitive issue. It's a different kind of condition.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that really is part of our larger awareness month, is to really key in on our students that experience dyslexia. It has nothing to do with intelligence. These mm-hmm. are often our most creative, most empathetic. They have high emotional intelligences. They are wildly creative. But again, it's a learning difference with the way the brain processes language.
Mm-hmm. And kids that aren't, I don't know if a diagnosis is the right word, but that's not identified, they are more prone to dropping out of school, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they struggle, and it's a condition, especially if it's caught early, apparently. Mm-hmm. Well, walk us through how that works. If you do identify a kid that's got dyslexia when they're really young, how does that help in terms of their learning abilities later on?
Great question. As a parent, I'll tell you some of the things as a parent that I did with my own child, and then I'll tell you what our district's doing and how I wished we had that available to us. As a parent, you think, oh, extra reading time and extra tutoring and vision therapy, and we'll have a special diet, or we'll try, special glasses, and we'll do overlays, and you try all of these things thinking that you can just cure, right, dyslexia. It's a lifelong condition. And while there's no cure, we know through the science of reading that to support students who experience dyslexia, we have to activate the portion of their brain that's underactivated. And we actually do that through instruction. And so going back to that phonological processor, that Broca's area in the brain, we warm that up with kids, and we have them hear language and toss language just orally back and forth, change a sound. So say cat, cat, now say cat, but change k to p. In their brain, they have to hear that, change it, pay attention to the formation of your lips and your teeth and how that oral motor connection, because again, the brain processes the sound differently. Mm-hmm. And so we're giving students different cues to then warm up that part of the brain. And then we use a very systematic and explicit approach to structured literacy, which is it's basically teaching phonics and how to decode words and pay very close attention to the symbol and the sound association.
Mm-hmm. So really, it takes a lot of intention.
Yes.
Basically,
yeah.
The kids have got it. They have to understand, hey, I got a little something extra to work on here. Mm-hmm. And they have to tackle it. And most kids are willing to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, we have students when our teachers are identifying students that need support and say, hey, I'm going to work with you, you know, every day. Well, here's what we're going to work on. Oftentimes those students, especially our older students, say, that would be really great. Thank mm-hmm. you. And the confidence that happens when kids learn to read, it is indescribable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing I read up a little bit on dyslexia, I know that it does run in families. So it can be a hereditary condition, basically. And do you see that? Do you kind of like put a heads up to parents that may have had some problems, whether it was even diagnosed for them?
Absolutely.
That you got to watch your kids to see if they're affected too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Dyslexia is genetic. If you have a parent and your parent experiences dyslexia, a child is 50% likely to experience the same learning difference. And so we encourage parents that if you experienced school and reading was really hard for you, you had have a hard time decoding words on a page, spelling is very difficult for you, organizing your writing was very difficult for you, then again, back to Dr. Meyer, what she said, mention that to your teacher, because mm-hmm. your teacher will then look at some assessments and make sure that we're not letting anybody fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, the event for parents or grandparents or anybody that wants to come is this coming Monday, October 28th, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Sandpoint High School. And so give us a little brief agenda. What are you going to go through at this?
Sure. We're going to start with what is dyslexia? What are characteristics of dyslexia? We'll kind of run through a little bit of background, and then we'll break into three different simulations so that our audience can experience what dyslexia feels like and sounds like. And then we'll come back together and share our district's plan to support students with dyslexia, as well as some tips for parents on how they can help support from home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So important night for parents to take note of there. That's this coming Monday. Dr. Meyer, our superintendent, tell us how this fits in with kind of this bigger program, every student graduating a reader.
Well, it is the program. We want everybody, we do a lot with literacy in our school district, and so this is one chunk of it, but it's something I think that has gone unidentified prior to us starting the program, and is underidentified, I should probably say. So I think that just our focus in the state with the new legislation, there was some funds that initially came with that. And then we also have just been funded by the Rotary. We did a presentation, Lisa and I, and we were chosen by the Rotary. So it'll be the next CHAFE.
As a grant recipient.
Grant recipient from the CHAFE 150 ride. And right. We will be focusing on every student graduates a reader. Mm-hmm. So having that program and being able to give some additional training to the literacy leads and then additional staffing to help with students. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the CHAFE is the bike ride that they put on that raises yes. money. It's and I happen to know it stands for CHAFE, stands for not just chafing and getting yeah. getting a rash, but cycle hard for education. So mm-hmm. yeah. So okay.
Where does the A come in then? Cycle?
Well, it's a lowercase a, if they do okay. it right.
I need my phonemes to be able to see. Phonemes to be able to. It's really intriguing, though, that every student graduates a reader really is a philosophy. Our mission in the district, since we redid our strategic plan 2 years ago, every student, every day. So really, what does it take for them to be successful? And in our business, we want students to be growing academically, behaviorally, every day. We want them to be growing so that we know we're making a difference. And when they graduate, We want them to be able to graduate a reader because it's so important. Lisa, when she does presentations I've seen her do, she shows if students aren't graduating by the third grade, there's a correlation to the amount of students, prison people in prisons when they're later in life. And if they're not reading by grade three, it was an initiative years ago with one of the presidents. And I think it's important that we recognize that every student, every subject we teach is really important, but the foundational, just the right to the every, we feel like every student needs to be able to read when they graduate. And I've heard Lisa say it gives them the freedom to be a citizen in America. Mm-hmm. So it's really important and near to dear to our heart that we really make sure that we're getting everyone at the end of the day is graduating.
Yeah, the adage that I always have subscribed to is first kids learn to read, and then after that, they read to learn. So mm-hmm. if they don't get that foundation mm-hmm. down, it's going to affect everything that they do in school from then on, because you have to be able to read to do all the other classes that
are involved. Absolutely.
Right. So, well, Dr. Becky Meyer, superintendent, Lisa McElroy, the Lake Pend'Oreille School District Literacy Lead, thank you for coming in. Again, the event is Dyslexia Awareness Night. It's part of Dyslexia Awareness Month, and it's this coming Monday, October 28th, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Sandpoint High School. Any last thing you want to throw in there?
We hope to see you there. Okay. Bring a friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for hosting us.
Okay. All right. Thank you.